Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We need to begin to rethink church. And you think, well, what significantly do we have to do with that? A lot. We're the third largest country in the world. We're the most powerful country in the world. And we're being presented as a weakling, and we're surrendering all of our stuff and things and ideas and concepts and whatever over. And at the same time, partnering with the enemies of Israel, it's amazing what's taking place. But think about this. It's almost like our president, and he has whatever faith he wants to have. You can have whatever faith he wants. That's just part of being in America. But if you look at it, because, you know, you think about the first speech in Cairo that said, you know, we need to build our relationship and promote Islam and fight against every negative type of stereotype of Islam wherever it's found in the world. But also in regards to the United Nations saying the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, which is Muhammad. And it's almost like he's fulfilling the from Mecca to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I mean, think
about
that.
Even the recent invitation of the young boy in Texas who created this clock thing, the embracing. I mean, there's a lot of things that the president could embrace, but is there a reason?
Well, the plight, even the Homeland Security saying, you know, that
Jay Johnson,
we have to respond to the plight against Muslims. And there's only like 4 million. And
4 million while Christians
think about this, though. So Mecca is where Muslims come to, you know, and walk around the well because of the 12th
Saudi Arabia once a year.
But you have to understand, if you look at the history books of Islam, they believe that Muhammad rode a steed or a horse in the middle of the night when he went to sleep. He had this encounter that he rode this horse from Mecca to Jerusalem. That's how the Ox of Mosque got there. Because they're saying he rode this horse. And of course, the reports are, his wife said, he was in bed with me all night. But but the thing about this, so then the question is, what was the name of that horse? What was the name of the horse that history says, Islamic history says, that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, rode from Mecca to Jerusalem? Remember, Jerusalem is what's at stake here, which you're hearing about continually. You'll never, check this out. The name of the horse, the steed that rode him there, according to their history, is Al-Barak. Think about that. I think we even have a picture of the horse. You can see it. That's in that you can find that. And they're saying that it just flew him in the air from Mecca to Jerusalem. So in regards to Islam, they consider that theirs because of this night ride with a flying horse. And Al-Barak was the name of the horse that brought Islam from Mecca to Jerusalem. And it's interesting today that everything is pressing, and the narrative is Jerusalem is Muhammad's. Right?
Yeah.
Jerusalem is Muhammad's. The Al-Aqsa Mosque that you're seeing all these things happen at, they're saying, based on the history book, that it's ours. It's not the Jews. Matter of fact, they're saying that the Quran says, and you can see this at VFNTV.com on the torch, we have Islam 101. You can understand, compare the Quran to the Bible. But they're saying they're not going to be happy until every Jew is pushed into the sea, and they even a rock will say, hey, come, there's a Jew behind me. I mean, there's this whole...
Wow.
They don't... An authentic follower of Islam and Muhammad's teachings is against Israel even being anywhere on that land. They call that a Palestine or Palestinian territory. And so it's like, man, President Barak is doing what Al-Barak did for Muhammad in that day.
Yeah.
This Barak is carrying Islam. Because Jerusalem is the capital, we've always acknowledged that is the capital of Israel, but our president is saying it's not the capital of Israel. By the way, the Democratic Party, the person that's actually over that is the Democratic president. And if there's a Republican president, then that Republican president is over the Republican National
Convention. Or nominee at that year, right?
Well, but they actually they're in charge of it.
Sure,
you know, they actually determine which
they
way it's
represent
gonna go.
That party.
It's not sneaking up on them. You know what I mean? And so when you're seeing this right here, it's just like that you know. And if you believe that history, you're thinking what you're doing is right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you study, I mean, if you study and you look at, go to VFNTV.com, and we have, I mean, verbatim, we have, you know, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam right side by side, and how, you know, all these things kind of begin to, at the beginning, kind of connect, and then they go off into their own courses. Well, it's very, very important, because Islam, the Quran, is the antithesis of the Bible. So if the Bible says up, Islam says down. The Quran mm-hmm. says down. If we say that Jesus is coming from the heavens, they say their Savior is coming from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We say the beast is coming from the ground. We say it's,
the Bible says.
The Bible says, yes. And then you know, the Bible says, of course, that then the beast will put a mark on every man, and they can't buy or sell without doing this. And we go, that's a bad thing. Well, Islam, it says they're
Savior
is coming out of the ground. He's going to put a mark on you, and that's the good thing. And it's like they believe the opposite. That's how they can make war, some historians believe, against Jesus, the Lamb of God, because they actually believe the antithesis, because they say it's said in Islam, in the Quran, that they acknowledge Jesus exists. They call him a prophet, but he has to come back, according to them. And he is going to come back, but he will repent for calling himself the Son of God. Mm. Then he will assist this one who comes out of that well in Mecca, and he will go around getting people to convert to Islam. And the ones that don't, this Jesus they believe in will behead you. And it's like, there's a huge difference. If our president is involved, if Barack is involved like Al Barack was in transferring Islam from Mecca to Jerusalem— This is Ezekiel 33, 30, 38. It's happening. All these different aspects are happening because, I mean, we are in some interesting days. The Lord could come back any moment, any time. If you have not yet, when we get back, we're going to talk about, you know, something we have as a gift for you for becoming a partner, because this now to know, you know, the signs of the Lord's returning is now. The question is, are you ready? Join us after the break. What do you do? What's all these things that are taking place? And I mean, prophecies are being fulfilled so rapidly. And you say, what does that mean? That means once they're all fulfilled, it's over. I mean, it's very important. If there's 100 prophecies and 98 fulfilled, you got two more left.
Pay attention.
It's like, check, check,
yeah,
out
real.
Of here. And so I think about, you know, we got to begin to rethink being the church.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's very important to understand right now, we have an offer for you. It's offer 1999. And it's number 1999. And it is called, you know, this is a conversation that I had about, you know, signs of the Lord's returning, because we're in those days. This is like the times of the signs of the Lord's returning. And it's very important to ask the question, are you ready? A lot of people are so into end time things and that type of stuff. And I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, but as you can see right here, it's you know, signs of the Lord's returning. Are you ready? And you even see the scripture right there. You see the scripture where he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Wow.
And others will go to meet him in the air. I mean, this is in those days. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that you can have, but the most important question we need to know the answer to is the one that Nicodemus had, which is, how must I be saved?
Yes.
You know, not all these theories and stuff. And also I talk about in this to help you, and this is totally yours as a gift for partnering today, is the signs. What do these signs particularly mean? This battle for the Temple Mount that we're talking about, this is a sign of the Lord's returning. When you look at what's happening with our own nation, when you're seeing, you know, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association putting out their magazine Decision saying, prepare for persecution, prepare for when a nation turns its back on God, basically it's saying, these are signs, are rapidly moving signs, and you need to be prepared. We just want to give this to you, your partnership for any amount at all. And as our partners, we're doing this thing together. God knows, he sees us. He says, listen, I command you, this is the command, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And you can partner today by going to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now, which you can see, or you can write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call 844-408-3688. And it's so important to understand how to connect. This is how, I mean, you want to, when the Lord returns, and he is, and we're going to all stand before the throne of God, you want to be able to say, you know what? Together, I stood with VFN TV to be the light, to keep the light shining 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and on the Gulf Coast every single day, Monday through Friday. Think about that. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. And how does this happen? It happens because of you saying, you know what? I do want a partner. And what we want to do is give you this gift. It's called Signs of the Lord's Returning. Are you ready? It's offer $19.99.
We appreciate your partnership. Do it today. And also talk to other people about partnering. We love hearing from you. And it's so encouraging when you call, when you write, when you send emails, when you like our Facebook page, because we know that we're not alone. And so many people are saying, listen, we understand that the answer is not in Washington, D.C. or who we elect, but the answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel. The answer is the Lord. And together, it's a team that's coming together. We're partnering to keep the conversation light, and it's through our partnership and the stuff that we're doing together. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
And as the partners continue to come on, I mean, these are wonderful resources that you need to feed your spirit, but also that you can share the word with your family and your friends. It takes all of us, and the times are short. So we're just privileged to have this time, you know, with you guys.
It's very short. And when you think about it, we need to be able to rethink church. We got to be able to rethink it. Because whatever we're doing, it doesn't appear to be working. George Barna writes in his book, he said that the church in America spends $1.3 million. Think about that. $1.3 million per baptized believer. I mean, there's people out there, if we just break that up into $10,000 increments, you'll have 10,000 new souls because they need 10 grand to pay their rent and fix stuff off and pay some debt.
Lord.
1.3. I mean, can you imagine the disciples and Jesus looks at them and says, okay, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave it with you. You need to go out there and get you a couple trillion dollars because it's going to cost you $1.3 million for every person that decides to follow me. Mm. Why are we, that's insanity. We have to account for that.
Compared to what's happening in Cuba, where most people are living on $30 a month, and the gospel is exploding, and they're in the midst of awesome revival.
Why are we spending $1.3 million per baptized believer in America? And we're only like 4.5% of the world's population. We have to begin to say, you know, what are we doing? We've got the answer for this. The richest nation, the poorest person in America, is richer than 70% of the world's population, 7 billion folks.
Wow.
Think about that. What are we doing with that? How are we using these things to be able to? We have to begin to rethink church. And it's not that complicated. Imagine if that $1.3 million was going to a television program in your region, that you have a television program happening, or you're bringing in VFN TV, or you're starting a Christian school, or instead of complaining about, you know, what's happening in the secular schools who are going more secular, pushing God out, that you open up a Christian school. You know what? Two small churches that met in their home, John.
Yeah.
They're met in their home, were able, because they saw there was flight taking place from a particular urban area, a city, and everybody was leaving. The churches were leaving, the schools were leaving, closing down, and they prayed about it, and the Lord laid on their heart, we need to open up a Christian school. Two small churches that met in two homes got together and said, we'll do that. And they opened up a Christian school.
Wow, amazing.
There's so much that we can do. It's not about programs. It's not about Christmas plays. It's not about Easter plays. It's not about another pew or a different color carpet. It's about souls. It's about people. Jesus doesn't say in the last days, when I gather you, he said, it'll be like a king who gathers his flock before him. On his right hand would be sheep, on his left hand would be goats. And he'll say to the goats, you know, that, hey, you know, you didn't build enough buildings, and you didn't, you know, have enough programs. You know, that whole scenario is based off, you know, whatever you did for people. What did you do for an individual? And you really find out how much kingdom is in you when you invite God's kingdom into your house.
That's right.
Because you find out, this ain't my house. I mean, you got to go through the whole process. But how many people, you know, if Jesus was knocking on the outside of your door, say, well, I'll let him into our building, but I will not let him into my house.
Mm.
And it's like, that's not his house. You know, I'll give him a ride with the church bus, but I ain't going to ride him in my bus. And it's like, we got to begin to, that's an American mindset. It's not true. It's not true. And it's whatever we do for others. And so you have to begin to rethink church. Now, it doesn't, if you think about the present day expression in that model, it doesn't work like that. So you got to go back to the original intent of what is written very plainly. Jesus, the most purest form of the church happens the moment Jesus births it, as the Holy Spirit comes down and Pentecost mm-hmm. happens, and you start seeing that people have things in common, and that, you know, paying a price is not a big deal because they wanted to see everybody not having any lacks. It's not the government's job to transfer wealth. It's the church's job to transfer wealth to needs that take place. We do that. That's what Paul was going to go from church to church. And when they went to persecute the church, guess what? That when Saul, who became Paul, went to go persecute the church, it didn't say he went from mega building to mega building, shopping center to shopping center. You know, it says he went from house to house and drug the church out. Why? Because that's where the church was meeting. And we got to begin to think about it again. I want to have the glory of God in my own home. I want God's presence in my own home. I don't mind gathering with a whole bunch of other folks, but I want the Lord in my neighborhood. I want light to come in my dark neighborhood. Rethinking church. Maybe you can sign up for the Vine Seminars. We're going to have a limited amount of seating to be able to come. We got a few. And so if you want to sign up, we're going to begin to talk about this and share this. It's going to excite you. It's going to exhilarate you. It's going to empower you. But it's a limited space. You got to go to vfntv.com to sign up for the Vine Seminars. I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray also for the peace of Jerusalem. We ask you also to pray for us, if you would. We need your prayers. Father God, Lord, I just lift up, Father God, those that are watching and listening right now. I pray peace over them. I pray, Lord, that you would speak in their dreams to them, God. Encourage them out of your word. What do you want for your church, Lord God? You know, there was a time when the church didn't have your word and you got the word back, scripture back. But now, Lord, I just sense you're wanting your church back under your leadership, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us wisdom on how to do that, to rethink how you want us to be as the church. Our identity is not our buildings, our organizations. Our identity is our love we have for each other, Father God. I pray for this, and I pray also, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Thanks for watching.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.